My next guest is an individual that I've known for quite a few years now. This is Ronnie Q, and her background is in marketing and public relations, currently working in hospitality. She manages public relations and green programs for Maine's luxurious Inn by the Sea. The Inn has achieved LEED Silver Maine DEP Environmental Leader Certification, a legislative sentiment as an environmental leader, and was selected Preferred Hotel Group Sustainability Hotel of the Year in 2014. Ronnie served on the Maine Tourism Commission as the chair of the Greater Portland Convention and Visitors Bureau and is the Greater Portland Regional Representative for the Maine Office of Tourism Regional Committee. She frequently has published articles on sustainable hospitality in industry journals. We're pretty privileged to have you here today.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I really love this topic. I love to travel and I love what's going on in the state of Maine, and you're someone is telling me that Maine is getting greener and tourism is getting greener and the Inn by the Sea is right at the front there.
Absolutely. I'm going to go back a few years, but after the war, when people started traveling a lot globally, it was about 1960 that people really started to think about sustainability and preserving and protecting the places that people like to travel for future generations, which is really what sustainability is all about. And it was a huge movement, but it didn't get a lot of traction here. And I think part of the reason that it didn't get a lot of traction in the United States is when you go back to the 60s and the 70s and you look at all of these conferences and bureaus that were set up to look at it, they were constantly talking about indigenous peoples and that kind of language. And it was usually revolving around very sensitive ecosystems like the Galapagos or a rainforest. And so nobody here really caught on to that concept. But in 1992, an economist by the name of John Elkington came up with a very simple catchphrase for something that he and a bunch of other economists had been working on for business for 10 years. And he came up with the triple bottom line. And the triple bottom line was such a simple roadmap for everybody to follow. What it said, very simply, in simple terms, was that in this day and age, you were no longer profitable if you just considered the single bottom line. You also had to consider the environment, and you also had to consider people. A year later, he coined another phrase, which was people, planet, profit. Well, that roadmap was so simple, everybody got excited about this. And tourism all over the world started looking at who they were and what they were doing and redefining themselves. And so you ended up with ecotourism and cultural tourism and sustainable tourism and all of these different kinds of tourisms that were all very niche-oriented. But at the center of every single one of them was this business plan, People, Planet, Profit. John Elkington was very precise about what people was. Planet is obvious, you know, reduce your carbon footprint, do what you can for the environment. Profit is obvious. We all know that we need to be profitable to stay in business. But the people, he said, were what he called stakeholders, not shareholders, but stakeholders. And those were the people that helped you be successful and be profitable in your business. So it was your community. And in our industry, it's your growers, your planters, your vendors. The people in your community you have to support, but you should support the other people that help you be profitable. So that was a roadmap for tourism that was really easy to consider. And in the early 2000s, it was a huge boom. All of a sudden, we had over 350 really good certification programs for tourism. And every single one of them was based around people, planet, profit. And it really made it easy for the industry to start greening. And they did. And everybody started doing things. The Inn by the Sea was one of the leaders. We started down this path 15 years ago. And what most people did in the beginning was they focused on reductions in water, waste, energy, and chemicals. And I think really the reason for that was that the hospitality and the tourism industry discovered that if they reduced energy, or if they reduced water, if they did all of these things, they actually were also saving money. So that helped the profit piece. The people piece has come along slowly after people sort of have done as much as they can with design features. People have now turned their attention to community, vendors, growers, producers, and all that kind of thing. And a lot of community collaboration is going on. So some of the things that we've done at the Inn by the Sea for the planet piece are the design features that we put in is, for instance, we have solar panels that heat a salinated pool. We have recycled sheetrock walls. We were the first hotel in New England to have dual flush toilets to save water. You know, we have recycled cork floors in our spa area. We have recycled rubber floors in the cardio room. So some of the things that help the hotel guests are we have air-to-air heat exchangers all through the inn, which gives you fresh air constantly being mixed with the cooled or the heated air, but it gives you a very clean environment. And of course, none of the guests really care about this. So they want to come to a green hotel. They don't know about your design features. But we want our guests to really have that quintessential Maine experience. We want to connect them to people here. We want to connect them to place. So we have a lot of programs that bring the people in, both our guests as well as our community. So some of the programs that we would do for hotel guests to connect them to the greening that goes on at the inn is we have a naturalist from the Cape Elizabeth Land Trust that does ecology beach walks for our guests, and they take guests down to the beach and they talk about the importance of the sand dunes. They talk about endangered species like the piping plovers, and it really connects them to that Maine experience and gives them the feel of this wonderful natural environment they're in. We have something that Derek will talk about when he's here to talk to you, our head gardener, who's wonderful, Derek Daly. He does something called the Bugs Life Program. And this was going to be a program that we did for one summer, and it's just taken off. And it really connects people to all the green design features that we have at the inn when something like a writer comes in to write about it. It humanizes it. It connects people. It makes them care. It's a program for kids where they create their own bug costumes, and then they learn about ecosystems and predator and prey, and they learn about the migration routes of the monarch butterfly, and they look at the larvae at the inn growing on milkweed, and they go and pick blueberries, and it connects them to the environment, and they learn a lot about ecosystems. So that's another terrific program. And then on Tuesday evenings, we do something called A Taste of Maine, and we invite vendors to come in and talk to guests about what it's like to do business in Maine. So we've had lobster fishermen come in and have samplings of lobster. We have somebody like Cold River Vodka come in, and we have tastings of vodka, and then they can tell us how they turn Maine potatoes into a wonderful vodka. And so it really connects our guests, again, to people, but also to place. And then one of the programs that we did years ago that has just been an ongoing program for us, that really is the perfect sustainability program in that it helps preserve and protect a traditional Maine industry and the resources for future generations while using the resources now. And that was, we were on the steering committee for the Gulf of Maine Research's Out of the Blue program. And that was one of the most amazing experiences that I've ever had, because there were three chefs. I don't know why I was there, but anyway, I was there. And we had the Gulf of Maine Research Institute's research, and we had Maine fishermen there telling us what was abundant and what was available in quantity. And then we had the chefs there saying what it was that they'd like for seafood on their menus. And the concept behind this was that with haddock fisheries being closed, now open again, but cod fisheries being closed, Maine shrimp fisheries being closed, the fishermen with the management that was going on in the Gulf of Maine were really being squeezed. And so it was really about how can we start expanding markets for fishermen by introducing underloved, underappreciated, lesser known seafood to people. And since 70% of the seafood that's consumed in the United States is actually consumed in restaurants, chefs have an enormous part to play in introducing people to fish that are abundant but underloved or lesser known. So for the next about 4 or 5 years, we only served lobster and then what we were calling underutilized but the lesser known seafood in sea glass. And the way we came up with the five species that we served was the fishermen would say, okay, these fish are abundant. And the chefs would say, ugh, no, I don't want to serve that. That's not delectable. And then the chefs would say, well, what about this seafood? We really want to serve that. And the Gulf of Maine research would look it up and say, ah, it's being taken out at 90% of what's allowed. We can't expand markets for the fishermen. And then the chefs would come up with another fish, and the fishermen would say, the fishermen were so knowledgeable about in the environmental concerns, it was amazing. They'd say, well, that fish actually has a 30-year lifespan. If we overfish it, it will never come back. Or that fish is so far out, it would cost us too much money to bring it in, or we have to degill it and ice it and brine it in order for you to use it, so we can't. And we kept going back and forth until we came up with the five species that were being brought in at maybe less than 10% of what was allowed, so the markets could expand, that the chefs deemed delectable, and that the fishermen said were abundant and could bring them in. So that was a great project, and we've been very proud to be part of that, and that's part of our restaurant program. We, of course, work with local chefs, with local farms and producers as much as we can. And actually, we have something right now that I'm crazy about. It's Teeny Greenies. Do you know about Teeny Greenies?
I do not know about Teeny Greenies.
Teeny Greenies are amazing. These are challenged adults. They have greenhouses in Saco, Maine, and they create miniature farms that are about this big that come in, and they're microgreens. And they're all kinds of microgreens, a million different flavors of microgreens. And every week they deliver these little tiny farms to the chefs at Sea Glass. And all week long when they're making salads, they pick microgreens. So they couldn't be fresher. They couldn't be more local. And these farmers are learning to farm sustainably, and it gives them an economic path to independence. So it's just the most wonderful program, but it's also a very delectable product. So we love to be working with Teeny Greenies. They're terrific. So I recommend them to everybody.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are the five species of fish that you're currently working with?
Mackerel, silver hake, whiting, pollock, dogfish. Was that five? I think so.
That might have been four, but we'll let you stop there.
That's great. Redfish. So that, yeah.
And having, as a kind of a vegetarian/pescatarian, I've eaten a mm-hmm. lot of fish, and I know that fish have very specific tastes mm-hmm. to them. So when you say that your chefs say these are delectable, mm-hmm. what is it about them?
Well, the silver hake or whiting would be a flaky white fish that people could... Well, pollock is a flaky white fish, too. So for... people who are used to eating haddock or cod, that wouldn't be a problem. Redfish and dogfish are definitely not as flaky. They're denser. They would have stronger flavors. And mackerel definitely has its own flavor. The mackerel we usually served smoked. We would do amuses with them. And mix them with other things so that people would enjoy them and be interested in going further with that. And I know that with the dogfish, we did a lot of, dogfish stew, that kind of thing. So giving it lots of sauces and a different kind of taste. So, trying to work with the fish that we had, the seafood that we had. But it's a great program.
And how are people responded to that?
People have really responded. We are no longer doing this, but for several years, working with the Gulf of Maine Research Institute, they were the spearhead of this program. They brought over information cards with pictures of the fish, and you could get more information on the GMR website. We would talk to our servers so that they knew, and we would have 10-day promotions five times a year, really marketing these fish. So you'd have the story on the fish, you'd have the story on the fishermen. And when a guest, as you know, sitting at Sea Glass Restaurant, looking out over the Atlantic, and you can see the lobster boys, lobster boats bobbing on the horizon right there. And when you explain to a guest why we weren't serving haddock or cod or something that they actually had requested, and this is why we were serving this. And actually the chef used to come out if we had someone who was sort of pushing back, and he'd say, you know what, try it. If you don't like it, I'm not going to charge you for your meal. And of course they would eat it and it would be wonderful. So they were always happy. But in fact, when you told them the story of what it was that we were trying to accomplish, and that it was actually a program that not only helped the biomass of fish that were in decline. I'm not going to say overfished because we're never quite sure why. Why fish are in certain species, the biomass goes down. But it not only help the biomass for certain fisheries, but also help sustainability for the main fishing industry and trying to expand markets for local fishermen. They were thrilled to get on board. It actually made their meal much more interesting and I think probably tasted better because people just love to give back to the region that they visit. Another program that we have that I think is terrific and really sort of is almost a year-long program, and it's really about the community support piece, and it's about the education piece. One of the things that Elkington did say in his People, Planet, Profit was that it was a responsibility also to educate people on sustainability, but the people that I think do that really well, he didn't say People, Planet, Profit, Inspire, which is too bad. But our National Parks Department did. They say preserve, protect, and inspire. So they are certainly sustainable in that they are preserving natural spaces for future generations while allowing people to use them now. But the inspiration piece, I think, is really important. And that's why we try and connect people to things like the beach ecology walks. But we do a school program that I love. All through the month of December, anyone who comes to the inn and makes a reservation, for every reservation made, we buy a school book for one of seven schools in South Portland off the reading lists of the local school librarians. We actually don't buy the books, they do, because we wouldn't want to guess what it is that they need. But they all have wish lists for books that they need, and they're usually just reading books that they don't have a budget for. So this is a terrific program. Guests love it when they hear about this, and guests often will just give us a check to buy more books because they love doing that. But the same kids in the school systems also help us with the Giving Tree. And we have a Giving Tree in the lounge over the holidays. It has handmade ornaments from these students, and the guests will exchange an ornament and bring back warm clothes for the food banks. And we work with Project Grace on this, and Project Grace distributes the warm clothes, and we get stacks of warm clothes and hats and mittens and scarves and wonderful things to our local food banks all winter long. And then those students that help with the ornaments come back in January, and we talk to them, and I love this when we do this, we talk to them about thinking about a different business model. And they're usually fourth or fifth grade students. So they've all had business practice in that they've sold a lot of painted rocks or lemonade stands. Painted rocks are actually very big. And so we talk to them about thinking about not just the profit that you get, but also doing something for the community and thinking about the environment. And they're very in tune with the environment and they have lots of great ideas. And so we show them that by creating these ornaments and by distributing this to the food bank, they've also helped their community. So that's one pillar of this. And then by helping us do this program, they've helped us with the profit piece because it's all part of being at the Inn by the Sea. And then they come back on Earth Day or around Earth Day, and we do a big beach cleanup. So that's the planet piece. And then we move on to another class the next year. But it's a terrific program that involves the community in so many ways. But it also allows our guests to give back to the community that they love to visit in two ways, either with a book purchase or with purchasing warm clothes for less fortunate neighbors. So I love that program. That's a terrific program.
One of the things that I love about Inn by the Sea and Sea Glass is that there's a vegetarian option, mm-hmm. and I think also vegan.
Mm-hmm. There is, yes.
And that for me is a big deal because I eat more plant-based meals, and there are a lot of patients that I have who I'm trying to encourage to eat in a more plant-based fashion, and sometimes it's hard because when
it
you go
hard.
Out, there's mm-hmm. not always there aren't always other things to have. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that about the Inn by the Sea and about Sea Glass, and also your lounge area.
Oh, good. Well, I'm so glad. I think that is getting to be even stronger. And we also, things are now marked gluten-free, vegan, vegetarian. So it's getting more and more complicated to design a menu, but very important because so many people are into wellness and really appreciate doing this. We have a program that's probably new since you were last at the Inn. I don't know, one of the other connectors for being a green hotel is that we also have a collaboration with the Animal Refuge League of Greater Portland. And we have a foster dog on site all the time. And sometimes they have their little vests that say Adopt Me, and sometimes they don't. We take them off because they look hot sometimes. But guests will come to the Inn and they've left their dog at home, or they're traveling without their dog, or they no longer have a dog, and they enjoy walking the dog. And we love feed and house these foster dogs, and then guests fall in love over the weekend and adopt them and take them home. And we've been doing this now for a little over a year, but in the calendar year we had 46 dogs adopted from the Inn. So again, it connects people to the community, but it also is a great segue into, why do you do this? Well, because we're a green hotel, this is a community collaboration. So it gets that conversation started on all the good things that we've got going on.
Well, I haven't seen the foster dog program. It makes me think I need to go back and actually see what's going on there. Yeah. But I do know that you are a pet-friendly hotel, and that's one of the things that's quite visible whenever we go to visit is, you know, there's very happy looking dogs that are sitting at their owner's feet or taking walks on the property or going to the beach.
This was, and exactly, the Inn's been dog friendly for 20 years, so it was a very natural transition to actually try and help the dog community as well as collaborate with somebody in our, because we already had the infrastructure in place to be dog friendly, so that's great. We have another pet that is another community collaboration, not really a pet because he's in the wild and he's free, but the Rabbitet. That was another great, and that would be part of the planet piece. The state park had become completely infested in front of the Inn and adjacent to the Inn. Many acres had been completely taken over by bamboo and bittersweet. And it was a sanctuary, a wildlife sanctuary, that really had no wildlife in it anymore because of this dense bamboo that had taken over. And so in a very unusual, I think, collaboration, public-private collaboration, we've worked with the Department of Conservation, and we took over the really running that piece of land for 5 years. And we spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars ripping out the bamboo and the bittersweet and then replanting with the perfect habitat for New England cottontails. The woods off to the right around Crescent Beach State Park, the Rachel Carson people, Fish and Wildlife people did a study a few years ago and discovered that we had 69 New England cottontails, and they're severely endangered. They think there are only about 450, 500 in Maine. So a lot of them were there. So we've planted with the perfect habitat for New England cottontails, and we hope they'll thrive and do well. We go rabbit tracking every winter with the Department of Conservation, Derek and I, so it's kind of fun. And I think the numbers are up, so it's great.
Well, I was part of the Maine Magazine 48 Hours when we went to Cape Elizabeth. I stayed at Inn by the Sea. This was a few years ago now. And in addition to all of the wonderful things you're describing that are very planet and profit and people-oriented in a bigger sense, you also have a very comfortable place to be and a very wonderful place. I really enjoyed getting up and going running in the morning, going out towards the lighthouses, going down to the beach. I mean, it's a really special place that you have available for people, not only from out of the state, but within the state of Maine.
It is a wonderful place. I mean, being on Crescent Beach, the beach is just wonderful. It's an unspoiled beach. It's just gorgeous. And wonderful bird watching at Kettle Cove in the morning. The Inn actually has 14 J.J. Audubon engravings that are on the third and the fourth floor of the 14 birds that you're most likely to see. So if guests want to get up and walk Great Pond early or go to Kettle Cove, they can take a look at the Audubons to see what they should be looking for. It's a fabulous location, as you say, and wonderful spa, which is Silver Lead certified.
That's true. I've been there too.
Lots of sense of place treatments. You know, our favorite being the Sea Waves massage, which is done on an undulating bed with massage strokes that undulate with the ebb and flow of the ocean and marine-based product and surf surround sound. So you really get that Maine coast feeling when you're in the spa as well. Lots of Maine mud and sea salt kinds of treatments.
Well, I'm planning to go back again there very soon because I feel like there's some things I've been missing. So now I need to catch up. We've been speaking with Ronnie Q, who manages public relations and green programs for Maine's luxurious Inn by the Sea, and clearly has done a lot of thinking and a lot of acting in the sustainability movement within tourism and hospitality. So I appreciate all the work that you're doing and your thoughtfulness and your willingness to come in and talk with us today.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been great to be here.